This episode of My Term podcast was first recorded in September 2023. Now, we had planned to bring you episodes on a regular basis, but sadly, we had quite a few life issues that popped up over the year. However, things are back on track now, and we're looking forward to bringing you more games chat, reviews, news, and sibling rivalry over the next few episodes. So please enjoy these catch-up episodes over the next few weeks, and we'll be back with the newer episodes in the new year. Enjoy!
Welcome to My Turn Podcast, a gaming podcast hosted by extra competitive siblings. I'm Jem, and I'm joined by Erin!
Hi! How are you, Jem?
I'm okay. How are you, little brother?
I feel good, but I haven't stopped coughing for like 2 months.
I know, so. And we should also say we launched our new series 2 months ago, and then due to a series of bad things happening, namely my dog died. I was sad. It was genuinely a very hard time. And so we had to postpone the recording of any other podcast, but we're back. Yay. We promise we're probably back now to resume this series that we had all intentions of hitting your ears regularly with. We are now back.
Yeah, good, because I've been playing a lot of games and no one wants to talk about it, so you know, this is my chance to offload about the amazing games.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's what we are all about. We love to talk about games across all formats and genres, because we are what, Erin?
We're extra competitive gaming siblings.
Yes! Yes! So what we normally do in an episode is we have a game each that we like to talk about. And by the way, if you do hear a lawnmower in the background heckling, it's really hot today. It's really damn hot. So the door is open.
It's like the first day where it's been like nice weather as well, for like consistently good weather for ages, because typical British summer, it has rained like hell. So you know what, I don't care if you're gonna get ambient noises.
I'm sorry,
you're just gonna let us have some sunshine, because we're Mediterranean, and if we don't get it, we shrivel up like little raisins.
Yeah, that's true. We are Turkish Italian and we live in the UK. We're the wrong colour for most of the year.
I forgot. I'm actually kind of like golden brown.
This is the one time of the year where we're the colour we should be and not this kind of weird yellow sallow. Anyway, we've massively segued. But what we do normally do on this podcast, and what we're going to intend to do today, is talk about some games we've played recently.
Yeah.
And give them a review. Absolutely. And this is a sort of no frills review. You know, we do this for fun because we bloody love games, because we are what, Erin?
Extra competitive gaming siblings and massive nerds.
Woohoo! Yeah. I feel like we need a little like jingle to go with that. Anyway.
Okay.
So I have got no idea what Erin's been playing. So Erin, do you want to talk us through?
Are you sure you have no idea what I'm talking about?
I don't know what it's called. I saw you doing something on your iPad and some funny voices came out of it. So tell us about the game you're going to be reviewing today. Let's start with, what is it called?
It's called Little Miss Fortune.
Little Miss Fortune.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is that by? What are you playing it on?
I was going to say, are you going to tell us what your game was, and then we'll go into
I'm actually going to be doing something a bit different. For those of you that are regular listeners, about a year ago, other brother from Different Mother, reviewed Cat Burglar on Netflix. And I've sort of ignored the fact that there's a whole bunch of interactive games and titles on Netflix until very recently, because I have a small child. And so it's been very hard to play games that demand a lot of my attention. And the game I have been playing is Zelda, which we'll talk about another time. So I thought I'd check out some more of the interactive titles on Netflix, because they are kind of games. Well, the ones I've been playing are games.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, well, things like Bandersnatch were, so you know.
We'll be talking about the types of title available, because I've done a few, so it's kind of a broad review. Great. Well, let's start with your game then, Erin.
Yeah, so Little Miss Fortune, in a nutshell, is a kind of point and click linear adventure game, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
It's developed by a company called Kill Monday, which is a independent Swedish studio. This was released in 2019. It's on most major platforms, so OS X, it's on Windows, it's on Android, you can get on PlayStation, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. I'm actually currently playing it on PlayStation 5. Well, I say currently playing it, I finished it. But yeah, it's a cool little game.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Sounds cute.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. When I get into that. So shall I like describe it as a food related thing? Because I think I've run out of nuts now.
Oh, yeah. So we were always doing things in a nutshell. It's okay. You can use the same nut.
No, I like.
Okay, food related thing that you can put your description into.
Thank
go.
God, a spooky spaghetti. Because
okay,
it's,
again, you're really stretching this.
What do you mean?
A spooky spaghetti.
No, but you haven't heard the reason why yet. No. That's
okay. Go on, carry on.
It's because it's you know, very narrow and focused.
Yeah.
And it's a linear game because it like kind of stretches on, but it's really really good fun. And I love spaghetti because if you like eat it wrong, it comes out your nose.
I have so many questions, none of which I actually want answered. No.
Oh, it's great fun.
I can't judge too hard, though, because I have laughed tea out of my nose before.
Exactly, yeah. More it's than the same kind of thing, but like it's like levelling up. Like, this is the next level, and then, you know, you could get a whole carrot come out.
No, I do have to ask one question. If you've had spaghetti come out of your nose, did you pull both ends and, like, give yourself a little...
Did I floss? I actually... My God, that's a really good idea. Maybe that's how you unblock your nose.
Nose
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it might work. I've got a blocked nose. So once this Sudafed wears off, I'm going to cook me some spaghetti.
Do it. please post the results online. I don't want to, but I do want to see this.
And Instagram.
Beautiful. So tell us a bit about the kind of world and the story of the game.
Okay. So you
Without
start...
spoilers.
Okay. Quite a hard one to do. So you start off, you kind of wake up in this world in this bedroom, and your main character is this little girl who's very reminiscent of, do you remember Angela Anaconda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do actually.
Kind of looks like her, but not horrific, actually cute, because that cartoon was a bit weird, but it's very similar kind of graphical style.
Okay.
And you are... in control of her, but you've got like some sort of voice kind of narrating what is happening, and the voice actually interacts with Little Miss Fortune, which is her name. And it's basically you go out into the world and just go on a little adventure to explore, to find eternal happiness, it's called.
Okay.
Little
That's
Miss
your
Fortune.
Quest.
Yeah,
You've
that
got
is
to
your
find
quest.
Eternal okay,
You've been
got
guided
it, got
by
it.
This voice to go and find eternal happiness. But the world's a little bit weird because there's this huge contrast between your character, who's this lovely little sweet Spanish girl who is literally like the most adorable thing. She has amazing catchphrases. Like my favourite one is "Yikes forever." I love it. It's so cute. But like the world is like really messed up. She like talks about how her mum drinks juice.
Oh, and, the famous
sometimes
juice.
Sometimes when she drinks juice, yeah, she becomes like a bit dysfunctional. And her dad sometimes shouts at her mum and things like that. So is this kind
oh,
of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Very dark undertones.
Yeah, there is. But it's done in quite a soft way. So like that is probably the only thing you hear about. There's no... You don't see
it's
anything
not explicit.
Graphical like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
But once you get off into the world, you notice the world's kind of like very dull and dark. There's a lot of crows and blackbirds just flying around in the background. And all the people in the world as well are all wearing these strange kind of like masks over their faces. So you can't actually see their face. And yeah, you don't really interact with the people in this world. But essentially what you have to do is go through this adventure. You meet different things, find different things. Like you find a puppy at one point, you choose whether you want to just stroke it or set it free. You find a fish called Rodrigo, which you befriend.
Oh, hi Rodrigo.
Rodrigo's great. And you just end up exploring this world to find eternal happiness. And as you're guided by this voice, you actually come across a fox. Your character decides to name him Benjamin, and she becomes kind of obsessed with this fox, but Mr. Voice isn't too enamored with foxes. And you start to get a bit of like, something's not quite right here. And he really does not want you to interact with Benjamin. He calls them dangerous foxes. But like, this fox, every time you see it, just runs off. It doesn't seem to like want to harm you or anything.
Yeah.
And without spoiling it, that's probably where I can leave that as the story develops.
I just have one immediate question.
Yeah.
So the voice, the mention of the voice that sort of narrates and it slightly interacts with you reminds me of a game that I'm pretty sure you've never played called The Stanley Parable.
No.
Which pretty much anyone who's played video games for the last 20 years will be somewhat familiar with Stanley Parable, whether you've played it or not. That is a game where the voice kind of says, I mean, oh God, it's been so long since I played it, but the voice kind of says, like, Stanley opens a drawer.
Yeah.
And you kind of are inclined to do what the voice says, but you don't actually have to.
Yeah.
So what my question was, do you have to do what the voice says? Because you said it's linear, so I don't know how much freedom you've got.
So the voice isn't telling you what to do as such. It will suggest things, but it kind of like talks to you more than than tries to like dictate what you're doing.
Got it.
The reason it's linear is because it's literally like side to side. You go through one part of a level. There's very little there's very little options that kind of like change where you're going.
Yeah.
So every time you played this game, even if you made completely different choices, you'd end up basically going down the same path.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But yeah, you can rebel a bit against the voice and
become
a bit argumentative with it.
All right.
Which is cute.
What does the game kind of look and sound like in terms of like, you referred to it being a bit like Angela Anaconda, but like, what is the sort of visual, how would you describe the visual style and.
Yeah, kind of like cartoony, but almost like a bit of like, you know, when they do like paper cutout kind of cartoons, there's like an element of that there. Obviously, it's not done like that, but the style is
almost like a stop motion, like a paper cutout stop motion sort of thing.
I don't know.
Or like a 2D.
Kind of right thing. But yeah, the kind of like 2D element of it, the way it looks like it's just paper on top of paper. But also quite cartoony at the same time. It's a nice little style, actually. I think it works really well with the setting because it's cartoony, but then also because everything's grey and you've got people with the weird faces and all the crows and things like that, there is that element of like, oh, something's a bit creepy here.
Mm. Yeah. And also, what did you like about the game? Like, what do you think its strengths are?
So in terms of its strength, I love the characters in it.
Yeah.
Like, Little Miss Fortune is just adorable. Like, she's also, like, some of the things that she comes out with. There's one point where she's like, ah, this road is called Dickens Road. Do you get it? Dick. And things like that. She would just come out with, like, really, really inappropriate little phrases like that. And Mr. Voice would be like, Little Miss Fortune, behave. And she would just be like, she's just really, really like innocent in this horrible looking world. So yeah, I think she just basically is the best bit about it. And when she makes friends with all these little animals and the names she gives them, like Rodrigo the fish, which I won't divulge too much into, but there's a very funny moment with Rodrigo.
Oh, it sounds really cute.
How long
did this game take to beat?
I think like a couple of hours, really. It's not a really long game. It's like, you know, pretty much play it through once or twice and that's it. The game's really done. It's quite story driven. It might be a bit of a tearjerker in places because,
are there things about it that you would, so it's really cutesy.
Yeah.
But would you like caution kind of younger people playing it, for example, as well?
If it seems to have adult-y themes, probably. Yeah. I think if you're overly sensitive, it's probably not for you because it is quite, it's a lovely story, but like I said at the beginning, where you hear about mum drinking the juice and dad shouts at her, there's no, like, I don't think any like violence or anything like that in it, but that kind of element is there. So if that upsets you a little bit, then maybe avoid. But I think the majority of people is fine. Yeah,
yeah. I'm getting at is it is not for kids though, is it?
No, not unless they're probably like teenagers or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So, was there anything else of note about it that you want to mention before we get onto anything that's less good?
Not really. I mean, it's quite, like I said, it's quite linear. The way the voice and Little Miss Fortune interact with each other is really cute. The style of it's really, really cool. It was just a pleasure to play and really easy to get stuck into.
Lovely. And like we say a lot on this pod, like, it's so good when you find a really fun short game, because there aren't enough of them. Just short games that you can just dip in and out of, because we've got, you know, there's all these massive like AAA titles that take like a year of your life to get through. So it's quite nice when you can dip in and out of something shorter,
especially when we're like, you know, both working super busy kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We do want to like sometimes have like two evenings of playing a game to finish it.
Yeah, a little bit of escapism and that sense of having completed something.
Yeah,
because exactly. like I mentioned at the top, like I'm, you know, just playing Tears of the Kingdom with every free minute of my time. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I just want to dip into a different world for a bit.
Yeah.
Just like, and also a sense of completing something, because I feel like it's a never-ending game that I'm playing with Tears of the Kingdom. You just feel like you're never getting anywhere because I don't have enough time to play it.
Yeah, it's quite difficult to complete these big games. So there's definitely a good market, especially for people our kind of age, for these smaller games.
Yeah.
And also to play with your partner as well. That's the other thing we did. We did the typical thing of like, we eat do like one part of a level each and then switch over control.
Yeah. So was there anything about the game that was less good or that you thought could have been improved?
I mean, it's not necessarily, I'd say, a con as such, but it is quite short. And I don't get the impression that if I was to play it again and make different choices, there would be much of a difference in outcome.
Okay.
The only thing really in it, there's some sort of like collectible system. Basically, when something happens in this world, you can use your sparkle. So she's got like glitter in her pocket and sparkles to make something that was maybe a not necessarily good memory into a better one. And it basically like sticks a cartoon picture over the top of something bad. So if you see, I don't know, like this isn't in the game, but as an example, if a crow died, you'd do sparkle and the crow would be sleeping or something like that. And it would be a cute cartoon crow.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And if you collect all those moments at the end, something happens different.
Okay. Oh, I really want to play this now.
Yeah. Do it. It is good.
In terms of like how much it is, like the price point, did you find
it was,
that?
Yeah, I think it was
fairly
less,
priced.
Yeah. It was like less than £20, I think.
Nice.
No, it was absolutely fine. Like, oh my goodness, some of the games now are £65 on PlayStation. It's just like,
yeah, but also like how much work a game actually takes. I don't begrudge paying. I think what I find difficult is when a game is like, it's from a big studio. It's been out a long time. And they're just reissuing it, and then it's still like loads of money, but you're just like, oh. But I think, no, when a game, obviously, I don't know, it's a big conversation to be had, but games take a hell of a lot of work, cost a hell of a lot of money to make. So I don't begrudge, especially indie titles, I don't begrudge paying a fair price.
Yeah.
Particularly indie titles, I'd say as well. But yeah, even the
AAA. That's what I mean. Like, stuff like this where it is a shorter game, it's a lot, you know, I don't feel like I'm like, oh my God, I have to drop a load of money on this game that I'm going to invest so long in. So yeah, I think it's really well priced. And definitely worth the money that I paid for it.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And was there anything else about the game that you think our listeners should know?
No, not particularly. If you want a quick, fun adventure game with a very cute character with a bit of a like dark side
dark
to
edge.
It. Yeah.
So who would you recommend this to then?
To be honest, people like us, really. People who don't have a lot of time who quite enjoy a bit of a story-led game. There's not a lot of thinking really involved with it. It's quite go with the flow and let the story kind of take you through it. Someone who just wants a bit of a nice evening game, I guess.
Nice. Great. Which brings us
to the rating. Oh, I think, do you know what? I think I'm going to give it a 9. It's so lovely.
Really? Yeah, 9 out of 10. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very high score.
Thank you so much.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank you for that game, because it's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely need to check it out. Give us the title one more time.
Little Miss Fortune.
Little Miss Fortune. We'll Yikes put the details forever. In the show notes. That's funny.
Oh, no, I love it. Anyway, let's go on to your Netflix... Netflix games, kind of?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I'm not really reviewing one game. Okay. I'm having a chat about this new era of interactive TV experiences, right? So have you dipped into the world of interactive Netflix yet?
Literally just Bandersnatch.
Just Bandersnatch.
Because I'm a big fan of the Black Mirror series.
Yeah, so they've got loads now, right? So... Yeah. Just quickly, like some of the titles they've got on here now. So Cat Burglar Tim mentioned.
Yeah.
There's, oh gosh, my notes. Escape the Undertaker. They've got Puss in Boots inspired game called Puss in Book.
Trapped in an epic tale. Yeah.
They've got, Trivia Quest, which is one of the ones I'm going to be talking about today.
Okay.
Captain Underpants, Epic Choice-a-rama. Yeah. Nice. I mean, if you remember the Captain Underpants books, or maybe you were
vaguely,
too old
it rings
for
a
them.
Bell.
When I worked in schools for a while, I recall kids reading those. Then there's like a Bear Grylls interactive survivalist adventure.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Called You Versus Wild. So there's a whole host of things. And for the most part, they are a linear adventure with some choices which will take you down different paths and or give you different levels of entertainment.
Yeah.
So I've played like a broad spectrum. So I'll talk about a couple of the ones that I've played and then maybe do a bit more in-depth on the trivia ones. So there's kind of two types of interactive content, let's say, on Netflix. So I'm not talking about Netflix games per se, because that's a whole other thing, which I'll delve into at some point.
Okay, I've not even come across those.
Yeah, because they're investing in actual games, so mostly stuff you're going to play on your mobile or tablet. Yeah. So that is a whole other rabbit hole we can go down at a different point. But what I'm talking about is this interactive content that you'd almost like have on your TV in the same way that you're streaming your favourite show or whatever. So there's two main types. One type is a sort of linear adventure where you are picking, a bit like choose your own adventure, like clicking at a certain point, option A, B, C, or just one of two options sometimes, and it will have a slight effect on the outcome of your story. In some cases, you'll have a negative outcome and get prompted to try again and make a different set of choices because something bad will happen.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to progress.
You will die.
Yeah. Other ones, like some of the more comedy-driven ones, it's just like a choice between one stupid scenario or another.
Mm.
So that's sort of where, you know, that there's that. But the other type of interactive experience is the trivia stuff. So Cat Burglar, which Tim talked about a year ago on the show, is a trivia game with a sort of story.
Yeah.
It's got a heist story. And there are a couple of adventures slash experiences that I've played, one called Triviaverse and the other one called... oh my gosh, what is it called? Trivia Quest, that's it. They're so similar, Triviaverse and Trivia Quest. And they are actual, I would say these are games.
Yeah.
Because they are actually requiring you to answer questions to a time sometimes or against a kind of foe.
Yeah,
so you've got like a foe on the experience.
Yeah.
So they are more like games, whereas everything else is like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we've done both.
So with the Trivia Quest one, so is there any sort of like I guess like filmy quality to it, or is it literally like here's a question? Like, I don't know. Say for example, you're playing something like Trivial Pursuit. Is it just like a televised version of that?
No, there is. Well, so Trivia Quest has got a kind of a story built in.
Yeah.
Triviaverse is a bit more like just answer a question, answer a question, answer a question, answer a question. So Triviaverse, is, this is how it's described. High school wins. Challenge a friend or beat the mysterious foe, which is just a pair of eyes in the sky, by answering random rapid fire trivia questions on science, art, geography, and more.
Okay.
So the more is just random stuff.
Yum.
But actually, Triviaverse, I'd say, was quite hard, quite challenging.
Yeah.
And I had a sense of, like, I'm definitely playing a trivia game because that you're doing it to a time limit.
Yeah.
And the questions were, yeah, there were, some of them were, you just get straight away, but because of the added pressure of the time limit even, you're trying to read the question really fast, answer the question. It's all multiple choice. You just press a button on your screen if you're playing it on a phone or a tablet.
Yeah.
Or just use your controller if you're playing it on your TV.
Okay.
So I think it works really well for what it is. And I say that for all of them, actually. They all seem to work really well. The response rate between your TV remote or the touchpad works really well on all the ones I've tried. Yeah.
You don't get any furious, like, lagging of, like...
Yeah, so Triviaverse is very much like question, 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 with this kind of very light suggestion of the fact that you're against this weird...
eyeball person.
Well, it's just like flaming eyes in a kind of spacey galaxy back purple background.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. But the bad thing about Triviaverse is, like, it's 6 minutes long. And then it's just like, do you want to play again?
Also, is there like any sort of setting for difficulty? Because,
no.
I mean, if it's difficult for you, you
it
know,
isn't
are we
going
to go
difficult.
To like, here are Timmy, who's like six, who's going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah,
anything.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say about these, is that the age rating does not reflect the content, I wouldn't say. So like, they're all the ones I've played are you, but like Triviaverse, I don't know how a child would answer some of the questions.
Okay.
And the other one that
Trivia
I would
Quest.
Like to talk quite a lot about is Trivia Quest, which is actually based on an app that was based on an app called Trivia Crack, I believe.
Okay.
And that is weird because it's kind of pitched in a really kiddie style.
Yeah.
So it's very cartoony. There's a little guy who
looks very
much like a Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, he does, doesn't
face.
He? He's got the same colour and the little pointer. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at it so I could get a...
It's very much like someone's gone, oh, what signals trivia? Let's use what we can of Trivial Pursuit without actually using Trivial
Pursuit.
Yeah,
without a copyright.
Exactly. So they've kind of put a face on a Trivial Pursuit pie.
Yeah.
And this little dude is called Willy. And he's like, hey, I'm Willy. And my friends have been captured by the evil something or other, which looks like a giant number. It's like a number
is that
one,
the blue thing, blue crystal thing?
Yeah,
it looks like, yeah, it looks like a sword or a crystal.
Yeah, oh, it's a sword. Yeah,
that's okay.
It. It's like a giant sword. I don't know, they're so kiddified. The voiceover is really kiddie, the world is really kiddie, the way you're asked questions always shows you a little, like, little mini bit of animation before the question.
Yeah,
so it takes ages, whereas Triviaverse is question, question, question. Trivia Quest is like, here's a little cute, quirky animation that's going to give you a little clue about the tone of the question you're going to get. Like, there'll be like a little animation with one of the little characters painting a picture, and it'll be an art question.
Okay.
And be like, here's a little animation about someone in a science lab, and it'll be a science question.
Yeah.
But it's so kiddie, but the questions, like the first episode, for example, is all about movies. It's all movie-related questions across the different genres. So, like, a sports movie, a science movie, an adventure movie, a geography-based movie, a history-based movie, etc. But some of the movies are not kid-friendly movies.
Yeah.
But yet the whole style of the thing is like,
yeah,
a kid would happily want to play it.
It's like something like, what's the main character from Bloodsport called? This is an 18, by the way.
Yeah, right. Also, no kid will have been alive when Bloodsport came out. But not, yeah, nice nice example. It's like, questions about films that, like, they wouldn't have watched. Like, it was a question about Creed, one of the Rocky films. It's like, okay, this clearly a 10-year-old would love this. Would a 10-year-old have seen Creed? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they would have. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway,
so
it just seemed
a bit
weird. Yeah, there was other films that they were... Scream. They made reference to Scream. Like, I'm hoping a 10-year-old hasn't seen Scream. Sure.
Except if they were us when we were
yeah,
little.
I know. Well, we used to sneak to our cousin's house and watch like 18s when we were about 7 years old. It's yeah. really
Running
bad.
Man was banging.
That wasn't one of the worst ones. It was much worse than that, some of them.
Well, I mean, like I said, Bloodsport was one of my favourite films.
Yeah,
as a
and
kid,
you were
so,
like
you know,
about five.
I liked the bit where he broke his leg. Oh, it's so graphic. It's great. Everything
yeah, I was more
watch.
Thinking like when we were watching all the sort of graphic horrors where people were getting, yeah.
All the fun things.
Disemboweled.
Our childhood's very strange.
Yeah, yeah. Woohoo. Yeah.
Yeah, carry on. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
No, it's valid. Because, yeah, sure, your child might be watching Scream and you might be fine with that. But hey ho. But it's just weird. It's weird. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's pitched so in such a way that's so kiddie, like, I felt like I didn't want to play it because the cartoon and the tone of it was so babyish.
Yeah.
But not in a way like you just described with your game.
It's not
it
cutesy
was like
adult kind
cutesy
of thing.
Cutesy adult, exactly. It's, I mean, cutesy, just cutesy. And then the whole point of you solving or getting the questions right is to free a bunch of these little friends.
Yeah, yeah, I see his little chums.
And the friends, yeah, the little chums are like
got a little
a
rugby
love
ball,
heart,
yeah,
and a,
love
and like
heart,
a carrot,
a crown.
And like a popcorn
oh,
container.
Oh, like the popcorn. He's cute.
And like a rugby ball with a face. Like, yeah. It's just like, I'm not quite sure who this is pitched at. So that was my feedback for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other ones that I'd had a look at were... I tried some of the interactive adventures. So I started with Buddy Thunderstruck, the Maybe Pile.
Buddy Thunderstruck.
So Buddy Thunderstruck is a series, is an animated series. So the blurb for Buddy Thunderstruck Interactive is: champion truck racing dog Buddy and his handyman ferret pal Darnell test potentially awesome but mostly terrible ideas in this interactive adventure. So it is already a series, and this is an interactive special. So this is like
the Bandersnatch
of this series, and it's a sort of, I don't know if it actually is stop motion, but it's a stop motion style.
Looks
I think
very
it is
reminiscent of that Wallace and Gromit kind of thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it is sort of it's a sort of stop motion style thing, and basically this is the one where you just get presented with a series of stupid things and you decide which stupid thing they do.
Yeah.
And then it just times out about, that's only 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
So that was like fun, but at some point I was like, there is no point in this being interactive except I just decide which stupid thing they do.
Yeah.
And it was always a choice of two stupid things.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I guess I'll do it again and pick the other one, but then...
Doesn't really make any difference.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any difference.
I mean,
so
that's one of the things that Bandersnatch actually did. You could get different endings.
Yeah.
If you did things differently when it kind of reversed you back in time, like... you'd unlock other parts of the kind of video. There was a lot of different different endings that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's where these things really come alive. So yes, I get that an animation is really expensive and time consuming to make, especially if it is stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably would have been a hell of a lot of work to make this. However, I found this one like less successful in general.
Yeah.
Even though I kind of like the stupid tone of the show itself. Yeah. It's really silly and fun, and they're just idiots. They're like a couple of idiot best mates. It's just very funny. But yeah, that I just lost interest, and it's only 12 minutes long, but it felt like it went on forever.
Yeah, that's not not a good indicator of
Thunderstruck.
Oh, it looks fun though.
But then, because I'm basically at home with my 10-month-old daughter quite a lot, I was like, can I put one on that she'll kind of enjoy at least the graphics for, like the cartoon for? So I played Spirit Riding Free Ride Along Adventure.
Okay.
So Spirit is like, is it DreamWorks? It's an animated film about a horse, like a wild horse that like goes on some adventure. I don't know really.
Okay.
Never seen it, but it's a known, quite successful animated feature film. It's got various spin-off stuff, including the Ride Along Adventure.
Yeah.
And actually, this one was quite good. So this one was a kind of choose your own adventure, and I found it quite, like, there was quite a lot of peril in it. Like,
oh, really? Whole,
yeah, right at the beginning, you're kind of playing along with the riders and Spirit and his horsey friends. And right at the beginning, Spirit's kind of girlfriend horse gets horse-napped.
Oh, no.
And then you've got to, like, make a bunch of decisions to get the horse back.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you know what? Even though this is for kids, it's a PG as well because of the peril rating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're like, so you've got genuine consequences. Like,
so you could not get your kid back, basically?
Well, basically, no, it's a horse.
A horse. That's what I mean. Like,
your horse.
Sorry,
yeah.
Your horse girlfriend.
I mean, you're playing as a kind of, you're playing as a kind of omniscient chooser of their fate, basically.
Okay.
You're not a
character.
God. Yeah, you're God. You make the decisions for
can
them
you kill
on, like,
Spirit?
What they do. No, you can't kill Spirit.
Okay.
But you can sort of fail and have to keep trying again until you get the right sequence of choices.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite good, actually.
Yeah.
And my 10-month-old quite enjoyed watching the horses run around. So that works quite well. And that was a 22-minute adventure.
Yeah.
And considering I'm not that familiar with the IP, like, I've not really engaged with any of this content before, I actually weirdly quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite
nice.
Good. Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, it sounds like it's a new thing that Netflix are really trying to explore. So I guess, like, they'll see how successful it is before they really start investing in, like, making it, you know, how can we improve this or making longer ones? And
like, I really
want
to play the Puss in Boots one next.
Yeah.
That one was just quite long because that's, like, kind of the length of a film. So
is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll play that one next. But yeah, I thought it'd be nice to talk about these things because it's this sort of,
this is this sort of
like weird bridge between, you know, content where we're passive and we're sat just watching stuff. And let's face it, like, who, when they're watching things at home now, is actually watching it? Like, we're almost always got our phone in our hand
as well.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
So you're sort of like watching stuff across two screens anyway. So why not, like, do something with that to stop it being so passive? And actually, you are more engaged if you have a choice at some point or if there's a bit of trivia.
Yeah.
So I think
It's like, do you remember what I said to you? Scary games are scarier than scary films because you have some sort of control in it.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, any scary film, like, what's the worst that happens? Oh, jump scare. Oh, no. But, like, Alien Isolation, I'm, like, swearing at the screen.
Because, oh, yeah, because a pipe made a funny hiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
It feels so immersive. And, oh my God, when I played Five Nights at Freddy's with headphones and I was drunk, I had to stop playing after the first, literally the first day. And I was like, I deleted it from my computer. And I was horrified.
Well, you've seen the video of me playing Resident Evil Village, the bit with all the zombies all just descend on you.
Yes.
And I'm like running operating the controller, running on the spot to try and make my character, try and make bloody Ethan go any faster.
I
wholeheartedly agree with you. Yeah. I think adding any kind of control back to you when you're in any sort of narrative experience does give you a sense of, like, you want the best outcome.
Mm.
So even playing Spirit Ride Along Adventure, like, I don't care. It's a horse film. I don't know anything about it, but I wanted to save the horse. God damn it.
Yeah. You're invested in this character.
Yeah, I can't even remember its name, but it was cute, like a nice golden horse with a flowing mane.
Yeah.
And I wanted to save it because it was Spirit's girlfriend.
Oh, poor Spirit.
Yeah. So... Oh. Yeah.
Well done for saving the horse. But yeah, I mean, I quite like these hybrid kind of, like, how would you call this? Hybrid types of entertainment.
Yeah.
So, and this is a little bit off subject, but I was at a music festival a couple of months ago, and one of my friends suggested we go see this comedy act called The Dark Room.
Oh,
which is
yes.
a text-based adventure game that you play as an audience, which is hosted by a comedian, and it's hilarious. It's so, so funny. So I think we definitely have to go and do that. It's such a unique thing to do as well, but it was only half an hour. That was the only thing. Like, when you actually go and see it live, it's a lot longer. But I think that's got to be the future, really, isn't it? How do we get that kind of interactive entertainment?
I think because also, like, I think post-pandemic, we've just become weird as audiences. We're a bit reluctant to go out sometimes.
Mm.
We've got a lot of choice of what we can do from our sofa.
Mm.
And it's about sort of accessing art and content and games in ways that also reflect how people live now. So in the Western world, I feel like we've just become a bit more reluctant to try new things that involve going out. I don't know if that's a good thing, but it's sort of the reality of what we're living in.
It helps with the cost of living crisis, definitely.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, well, there's that as well, isn't there? Yeah. Like, I feel like people, you know, going back to what you were saying about the cost of a game, I feel like you can sort of justify paying 60, 70 quid for a AAA game because you know you're going to be playing it for a year.
Yeah.
Whereas paying 60, 70 quid for a gig that's going to be over in a night, like say a big act is playing a stadium and it's 70 quid.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be over in 2 hours. Yeah. Like, and then you've got train travel and then you've got to eat something and then you've got to pay for drinks. True. And like, yeah, so it's weird. We're living in this sort of weird, weird shift in entertainment. And
I also think with that weird shift, I feel like things are going to go to more like streaming of games. Like you've got things like, what was it called? Game Pass. And you've got
Yeah, what do you mean, what's it called, Game Pass?
I couldn't remember the name of it.
Stupid PlayStation.
What do you mean?
Man.
Oh my God. In fact, actually, I don't think the PlayStation one's anywhere near as good.
It's not as terrible.
Yeah, which is a shame. But yeah, I feel like
Game Pass is amazing.
Probably where things will end up.
Yeah, well, that's why Netflix are trying to jump on the game train. I mean, the games industry is massive. Like, it's bigger than the movie industry. Oh, yeah. So it's like that, you know, there's money there. People love games. Games did, despite the sort of chip shortages and everything that went on during the pandemic, like games did quite well in terms of the engagement because people can access them anywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact that mobile gaming is coming on in leaps and bounds and becoming more and more advanced and it, like the titles are getting better, just means that games are super accessible now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, of course Netflix went in on the game. And yeah, I mean, like, what, I guess the reason I wanted to talk about these today is like, you know, I guess I was going to ask you, and I think we've already answered this, but like, do you think we need more of this stuff?
I think it's just a natural evolution, isn't it? I think, you know, the traditional gaming stuff is, you know, it's been around for a while, and now with new technologies and new, what's the word? Things like Netflix, like those
platforms.
That's it. Yeah, I guess people want to explore the boundaries of them and see like what will stick, really.
I also think that this probably will bring new audiences to gamified content. Mm. Sure, these aren't games in the traditional sense, but they're gamified content, aren't they?
Yeah. I also feel with stuff like that, the way you've described it, those kind of things would be quite good in the social setting.
Mm.
Yeah. So I feel like, oh, I don't want to watch a movie. Oh, do you know what? I'm on Netflix, though. We've just finished watching, I don't know, the new Dune film. Why don't we spend the next, like, 20 minutes playing some of these, like, point-and-click adventures?
Yeah.
It's just another thing, isn't it, to kind of,
And things like Triviaverse, as short as it is, you can also play as a two-player.
Yeah.
So you can challenge a friend and play it as a two-player, or you just play
as a group, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you could get, as a group, you could even get someone to read the question and then the people answer it, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely making games more accessible to people that would traditionally just sit in front of the telly.
Mm.
I said just, I didn't mean that in a, like...
You mean people that don't normally game.
The people that don't normally game, exactly. Yeah. I didn't mean that in like a...
Condescending. Exactly. All these people are going to come for you. You're cancelled.
I sit in front of the telly, I've normally just got a game on. Zelda. Endless Zelda right now. Do you know, we have Zelda on so much at home that when the baby is on her mat playing... We'll often say, time for the Zelda cartoon. Because it's on more than CBeebies or anything.
Does she get fascinated by it, though?
Yeah, she loves it.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, she loves it. She particularly likes this sort of like little cutscenes and stuff. She kind of puts her head up.
Oh, like, does she do the rotating hands and feet for the music?
Yeah, funny. She does rotating hands and feet whenever she's excited. Yeah, she loves it.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Ooh.
I think that's us done for today.
I think that's us done for today too. Yeah. So obviously nothing exactly to rate, but yeah, worth talking about. Great discussion, Eric.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Lovely to see you again. Can't wait for the next one.
Yes.
Got so many more games to talk about.
Hell to the hell, yeah. Bilen and I at some point will be doing a Tears of the Kingdom special for any of you Zelda enthusiasts out there. And Aaron and I will be back to reviewing more games.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Well, thank you for joining us. Please drop us a line. We're on Insta and Twitter. Say hi. Recommend games for us to play.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We also do board games and card games as well. Mm. And, yeah, like, just say hi. Also, if you're feeling like a kind, generous person, just go ahead and give us a 5-star review.
Give
just,
us stars. We need stars.
Just, you know, we'll perish. Give you a shout out on the next episode. And we'll love you forever. All right, well, I think that's it.
Cool. All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.